Good evening, friends. Sorry, we are very late with this. We were running into some technical difficulties. What else is new with our streams? But we're here. Nope, I'm not going to finish that one.
I am.
We're here with another session of Corporate Crash Course. I'm joined by three of my friends this week for the first time. We've been playing Vaisen, and we are going to be playing more Vaisen. You can see we've got Mike, who is not on camera, Chris, and Zoe. Say hi, gang.
I've returned.
Hello.
I thought I would dress up as my character this week.
Yes, the spaceman. Oh, yeah. The 1850s. God,
exactly.
Okay. Anyway, we're gonna keep moving.
Let him live his dreams of being a spaceman.
An 1850s spaceman?
Yeah, you know, the classic 1850s spaceman.
Does he have to wear massive metal diving suits with like the giant metal head? No.
It's just all burlap sacks, and he doesn't realize he just looks like a scarecrow.
And the only way they could think of getting to space is putting a metal tin can in a giant cannon and just firing it straight into the sky to see what happens.
Literally, yeah.
Puts a gun pointing straight up, can on top, shoots, and hopes that it's going to blast it off.
We need more gunpowder.
Okay, well, like I mentioned, we're going to be playing Vaisen. Last time we had a pretty big session, I would like to say. Since we have a new player here, Chris, we're going to need somebody to walk you through the adventure we have been going on so far.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, it's going to be good.
We came to Canada, found tiny little people through the rocks. Mike shot one in the face. It blew up. Oh my god. We skedaddled out of there because we were on a time crunch to get to Tirana. So we went there.
It seemed pretty happy then... about it, though.
Let me tell my story, Mike.
Sorry. So
we went... We went to Tirana. We got a castle. It's great. There's a butler. There's a chef. Hands off the chef, though. He's mine. Then we went traveling. And then there was a mine that was missing. But don't worry, we found the mine, and we didn't get eaten by the man that seemed like he was going to eat us yet. But we still need to figure out how the mine got to where it is, because it's not where it was. It got picked up, crushed, and dropped somewhere. And we're at the place where it got dropped. We need to figure out what dropped it. And also, is our buddy going to eat us?
So, let's zoom out a little bit here and basically say that... so far, Zoe and Mike's characters, Ingrid and Ego, have been effectively... co-opted by something known as the Society, and they have been sent to Canada, tasked with effectively opening and running or helping to maintain a branch of this organization, which has typically been a European installation in British North America, which is a new expanding colony and such, and blah blah blah. Now, the Society deals with myths and legends and folklore of peoples within different areas, tries to help with issues that arise from the changing world. We're taking place in 1850s Canada, It's a time of great migration and industrialization, and it's putting a lot of strain on parts of the natural world. And so, in a way, the natural world is responding in various ways. And so, Egil and Ingrid have so far seen two instances of different situations where they've had to help resolve some of the tension created.
I forgot to mention that there was also the first encounter was there was a dude that nobody could see, but we could see him, and his sister really wanted us to marry the man. We didn't marry him, but we did get to go to the wedding when he found someone to marry.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yep, there was the wedding. Mike shot a guy in the face.
No, not at the wedding. This is a different,
different
one. Oh, okay, so not
the wedding was fine.
Wedding.
Yeah, no. The wedding went out. No hitches. It was fine.
Mm.
Other than, you know, the bride and groom getting hitched.
Ah.
Yes, and most recently they had been tasked with going north from Toronto up to the Bruce Mines, which is a city, or a town, sorry, located on the northern part of Lake Huron up near Sault Ste. Marie. Because, yes, a mine had gone missing.
Displaced it.
The hole's still there. It's just all the structures on top.
Yes, yes. Like a tornado had taken it, but left no debris or anything like that. And so...
I don't think it was a tornado.
And so, effectively, last session, they met a lovely native man named Defago, who took them up to an area known as the 50 Island Water. Because he...
He's friendly and nice.
Yes.
And wanted to help us.
And I believe had told you that he knew where the mine was, or what was it? Yes.
He told us a story of how a building just appeared in the area, and we wanted to go see it, and when we saw it, we identified it as the mine.
Perfect.
I feel like this is the second campaign I've taken part in of like a mysterious building and some shenanigans going on.
Well, you know, that's really the best kind of mysteries.
Yeah, where was Ingrid all this time? Maybe she burned it down.
What?
Could have been.
Why would I burn something down?
And
that's very unlikely.
Like to find out, check out our YouTube channel.
I don't play with fire, guys. I don't know where you would get these ideas that I would mess around with arson.
No, of course not. So you guys went up there, and then the night that you were there, some pretty spoopy stuff went down.
The bleeding Wendigo.
If Defago might have changed, might not have, I don't know. But he suddenly seemed back to himself and said that he told you guys that he had seen the bleeding Wendigo.
Yeah.
And that's where we get to pick up from today. You guys are both at camp in the 50 Island Water.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I guess Chris stumbles out of the woods, because why not? We're going to make this happen.
Just add a bit of a twist. Just before you see my character stumble out of the woods, you hear somewhere from behind a tree, just like, okay, all right. And just kind of
drugs.
Another one.
Yo, is that the sound of drugs? 1850s drugs.
He's on the snuff, you know.
On the snuff.
And you see just a guy stumble out of the trees. Okay, all right. Sorry. I did not see you there. Hello. I was just checking for. I was sniffing for clues. You know, I'm a detective, so. Clues for looking, what? Yeah, you know, I got a bunch of cases happening here around this area, so it just, it's...
How many cases?
You know, it's like a... like about this many. It's a lot. It's
are you on the case of the missing mind? Because that's kind of our case right now.
You know what? I think that might be one of them. That's definitely one of them.
I look at this guy's arm.
Which one? Which arm?
I forget. Which arm did we find?
Oh, yeah. I don't think
we checked. It was a left arm.
I want to look at his left arm.
I'm assuming Chris's character still has his left arm.
I got both. That's why I was doing the counting thing.
Just imagine Eagle just grabbing his arm and stretching it out and looking
at it. It gets really close.
I don't think it was his arm.
So, yeah. At any point, did you have two left arms?
Well, I mean,
misplaced one of them.
I mean, as far as I could tell, you know, and nothing gets past my eye. I'm pretty sure it's born with just one left arm and also a right arm. And
do you know anyone who may or may not be missing a left arm currently?
Not really. No, I mean. I've seen
be on the lookout.
Okay. I'll be on the lookout. I was gonna say the only person I know is a guy who lost his pinky in a bet, but that's a whole story. You know, that's something else.
No, I think we'll get to get into that.
God says from the clouds.
Oh my God, God.
What's that? Another voice from the clouds.
I think this man's trying to steal our case.
No. Hey, you know, I'm a professional. I don't steal. I do collaborate though. So if you guys are needing some help, and you know, I just flash open a wallet quickly. It's like, the name's Jonathan Gules. You know, PI. Very.
I don't think. Yeah.
It's a family name, so.
You don't think he's human?
I do. Why? Not. Well, that last guy we saw wasn't human.
You mean the guy who's still standing right there, who you're talking right in front of, who's very unsure what is going on right now?
Hey, Mr. Gules, if you were to describe yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very much human and 10 being very much not human, where would you fall on that range?
Well, as I said, I'm very much human, so that'd be 1 for human. So I could tell, considering I can eat, breathe, and you know, other recreational things, you know, that, and you know, of course,
Wendigo can do those things too.
Do you ever find yourself wanting to eat the arms of another?
No. Do what?
No, I think he's clean, Eagle.
All right.
Yeah, no, I'm totally clean. I'm clean of anything. I'm clean of, you know, just a clean, healthy life.
Just the cleanest of men. Got it.
Cleanest of men.
Speaking of, what do you look like?
Right.
Speaking of clean, are you?
right. So, yeah. So you see, before he's just like he's got a. I think trench coats are still a thing, or some kind of coat. Oh. 1800 coat with like
a duster.
Yeah. Got a top hat. Hair's a bit frizzled. A guy who looks like he's just barely trying to keep up appearances, doing his best.
You sure he's human? He doesn't look like he spent 2 days traveling out here.
I mean, I kind of lost track after a crazy night. It's part of a case, you know, just one of my many cases that I'm working on. Say, the case you're working on, does it have any rewards to it? Any cash payments of sorts?
You trying to get a cut at something?
I mean,
if you're already on this case, wouldn't you already know about the rewards?
I am. I'm trying to get a refresher because, again, so many cases, you're like trying to like bounce on them. I do also a little bit of volunteer work, so I'm trying to make sure this isn't one of those volunteer cases. So if you could just
try to refresh my memory. If he knows about cases, he probably got sent by the council, right, Ego?
Yes.
Probably, yeah. Or possibly.
He says he was sent by the council.
What's his name?
Frisk?
Jago.
It's actually Jonathan Ghouls.
Do you know Jago?
Yeah, Jago. Jago, me and him go back like a while ago. Like I remember, like.
You hear that, Ego? Jago didn't think we were cut out for this.
That's what it sounds like.
See, that's classic Jago, wrong, right? You know.
How are we going to deal with this, Ego? Do we feed him?
I think safely ignore him.
Just ignore him?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Ghoul, but we're going to have to continue our day as if you're not here. We have no say or control over what you do, so, if you want to keep looking at the case, I guess you can, but try not to listen too closely at anything we say or get a little too close to us, okay? Because we're still investigating, but we're making the executive decision to ignore you for now.
Well,
so that you don't steal our...
I want to ignore any voices in the sky or people who look like they're not wearing their skin properly.
Yeah. If there is anyone who does look like they are wearing skin as a suit, maybe don't engage.
Skin as a suit, ignore. Got it.
Also, if this guy sitting over here says he's hungry, don't go anywhere alone with him.
This guy sitting over here would really just like to point out to everybody that his skin is not looking like a suit, but, fair enough.
But if his feet disappear, also, don't comment on them and just get away from them.
Okay. Yeah. Keep distance, don't feed him, don't talk about his feet, and keep away. I think I can manage
that.
Try and keep track of your left arm around that guy.
Well, I've grown very fond of this arm, especially having it my whole life, so.
That's a long time to have something. Well, I guess, you were going to tell us about the Wendigo, buddy? That you saw last night? Mr. Ghoul, try not to listen too closely, because this is for our case, and we really can't have you interfering with our case, so.
I'm just saying, I'm a pretty good detective, so, you could always, if you need my help, I understand, like, being a new guy here, like, you want to, you don't want to give away all your trades and secrets. I get it. It's you want a trust thing, but just I'm here, so I'll be the observer for now. But if you need me, I'm just right here.
It's right here, just right over here. Don't even worry about it.
Defago, Wendigo.
I don't really got a ton
yet.
What?
I'm gonna do that now. Sorry, what? I'm just going to raise my rifle as this is happening.
Okay.
To what?
Oh, it's escalating a little quickly here.
Where are you raising it to?
yes, Jocelyn, he is on the space station. We told Mike he needed to give his character a top hat, and he blatantly refused. so he is choosing to to be anachronistic in this game. Not the rest of us.
Mike is joining us from Mars right now. It looks like his screen is frozen, but I swear he's just moving at a different pace than us because of the distance.
He has a great skill of not blinking.
You don't need to blink in space. It's the same as, like, gravity. It's just gone. You don't need it. Your eyes are just always hydrated. Facts. Don't bother fact-checking. It's 100% real.
No, don't worry about it. It's all good. Yes. Yes. The Wendigo, like I said, yes, of course. I mean, I don't really know how much there is to tell you about it, other than, you know, I was seized by this great urge, this hunger to commune with the beauty of nature and the ever loving peace of wandering. You know, it came to me. I'm laughing because DSZ and Jocelyn are talking to each other through chat, even though I assume they're in the same house right now. But that's great. It came to me right outside the tent after it called my name. It started, showing me what can kind of be achieved by giving yourself wholly over to the beauty of nature and whatnot. It was quite the experience. But then, you know, after I walked with it for a little bit, everything kind of went black, and then I'm back at the camp, so. Just, I figured I had a nap. I don't know.
So last night...
Yes, yeah, you didn't, and he has his feet. Yeah.
You didn't have feet. You just had little nubbins where feet should be.
But
how did you get your feet back?
But my feet are right here.
Exactly. How did you get your feet back?
I mean, my feet were never gone.
Okay, so last night... Your skin was very loose, like it wasn't your bones inside it and something else was in there. How did you get your skin back to normal?
Defago kind of turns to Eagle and is just kind of like, is this like a woman thing? Like, this isn't like, she's asking some really crazy questions, which make literally no sense to me right now.
No, I'm fine. I've already had my lobotomy.
What?
I'm clean.
I'm thinking this for modern medicine.
Eagle, you're gonna have to talk to this guy. He's given me nothing to work with here.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm just telling you. Look, I went out and I communed with something and fell asleep and woke up here fine. And my feet are still here. I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean you communed with something?
Well, like I said, I opened myself to nature and the great hunger of seeing and experiencing all of the beauty, which...
How come you were communing in the same tent as us while we were sleeping?
No. Isn't that feeling weird? That's why I was outside of the tent. I mean, I don't know why I was scared of it before, like...
Before what?
Well, I mean, you know, there's always a lot of stories about with the Wendigo and it being this malevolent, malicious creature of great evil and whatnot, when really all it was, you know, nature and yeah. Used to hear stories and thought I had, you know, heard of it before, and it seemed downright terrifying. I mean, you know, nobody wants to turn into a terrifying creature that seems reminiscent of themselves, but, you know, that didn't happen to me, so I think it must just be, it must just all be stories, you know?
Is there any way I could tell if he's lying or not?
I think that's your observation empathy skill, isn't it?
Yeah, you could do that. So you're going to roll observation empathy. So you can take the two values for that skill and attribute, add them together. That's the number of dice you get to roll. And sixes are a success.
Okay, skill and attribute. So I got two in my attribute for empathy, and I got nothing in observation.
So you're going to roll two dice.
Got it. Five and a four.
All right. So no successes. But I mean, like, you're a detective. You look at people and judge people for a living. The dude seems sincere.
Okay. I'm gonna chime in and like, hey, so I know I said I was gonna be ignored here for like kind of the start of our case. But, I mean, from what I could tell, I mean, you know, just putting in my two cents here, or two pence, whatever currency you deal with, it seems pretty sincere about it, I'm not going to lie, at least from what I could tell. It's just my throw. I'll stay silent again, but, you know, I just wanted to chime in, so you guys can continue on.
I am going to pull out my crystal ball, and I would like to see DeFago's future.
Okay.
One success.
Okay. You pull out your crystal ball and you sit down in the snow, and start to reach out to the spirit world, and you begin to see a picture forming.
See it?
It is a courtroom.
Nope.
You hear a gavel being hit on a large desk, and you hear a judge saying, Mr. DeFago, I do not care that you try to, possession by any kind of malevolent spirit is not grounds for insanity in a murder investigation, good sir. You will be judged to the fullest extent of the law in this here God's country. And currently the evidence, as displayed, has best illustrated that you did here kill this man the man in cold blood, and as such you will be hanged to death. And then you're out of it.
Sounds like he's gonna move to the southern states and murder someone.
Southern judge.
In this vision, did I see, you know, a flag of sorts to give me an idea of where we were in this courtroom?
There was still snow on the ground. It was still canon.
Okay.
Just a southern judge had transferred to Canada.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, people travel. Boggle, you the you killed that guy there, eh?
Oh yeah, no, so now we're out on
you're gonna
coast.
Hang for that, eh?
Hey,
sorry.
What do you sound like?
We told you after the first time, you kill three more guys, and we're gonna hang you. We told you. We warned you.
So, hey, Eagle, the fog was gonna kill a bunch of people and go to jail. We should stop him. Thoughts? None? Okay. Excuse me, Mr. Ghoul.
You're a
detective of the laws and such. Do you have means of, restraining people?
Perhaps? Restraining people. Let me check my pockets here.
Maybe like to stop them from doing potential murders?
Let's see. Binoculars, magnifying glass. Not going to talk about what's in that pocket. What? We got a revolver. I mean, would a revolver help? I mean, I could have made them.
So, in your line of work, if someone were to have a vision of the future and see that somebody was going to, do some murders, what would you do?
Nah, that is a good question. Well, not often I deal with the potentials of a criminal.
What if somebody saw that huge murderer eating an arm the night?
Oh, I mean, that would raise suspicions. I mean, I don't think that's normal. I'm gonna put my detective skills to use as a man of the law. A detective of law. Just in any capacity of law. I'm gonna say...
His man's unraveling.
He needs another
Excuse me,
ball.
You need to go behind the screen again for a second.
Yeah.
It sounds like when you see someone pretend to be something they're not, and then somebody asks them to do the thing that pretend person is supposed to be able to do, and they're like, I don't know what.
I mean, you just
that's the energy
like,
I'm getting.
He says he's a detective. He flashed you a card.
Yeah,
like
I did
something.
Briefly see the leather. So,
I would like to ask Bufago what we heard call to him this morning.
Oh, well, that was the Wendigo.
What's the Wendigo's name?
Why did it call to you?
It calls to each of us when we feel the drive to explore.
It hasn't called to me.
Well, I mean, that's your own. That's
we feel the drive. We're exploring right now.
Mr. Ghoul, I don't trust him.
Mr. Ghoul, have you ever felt the call of the Wendigo?
Can't say I have, no. I mean, I've looked through a window, never heard the call of a Wendigo. That's about it.
Gotcha.
Can you call it back?
Oh, no, I mean, I can't call it back. It's like trying to, call back the wind.
Hit star 69.
It doesn't listen. It doesn't come at my command. I can't. I can't control it.
I mean, you're sure you can't ask it nicely? I mean, just like, please, Mr. Wendigo.
For all I know, I might never see it again.
You can't do the thing you did to get it the first time again?
I didn't do anything to get it the first time.
Can't just, like, try and recreate that? Feel the vibes again?
No?
Hmm.
Why do you guys want it so bad?
Why do you not?
That's a good question. Let me ask my my coworker, my companions here. Why do we want it back?
maybe we should look for the rest of that left arm. You know, maybe the whole body it was potentially attached to at one point.
That's a good idea.
Where there's an arm, there's a body.
Ooh. Oh, I get had it. Can I do a seance with the dead person that is the rest of that arm? If that arm is dead?
I don't see why not.
Crystal ball!
But we don't have the arm.
But it doesn't say I need it. I can contact the dead, so I just call out to their spirit. Oh, spirit of the left arm! Speak to me! I got no success.
I was going to say, does the arm even have a spirit in it?
You're getting a very overwhelming feeling.
So, on the failure, I'm giving inaccurate information. I'm attacked or I
attached to the body, which it is now understanding that it is not attached to and very much upset about the fact that it is no longer attached to a body.
Oh, my word. Distress, arm thoughts. Anguish, the pain. Oh. A lot of horrible things. Not good news. Mm-mm. It's not looking good for that left arm.
Mm.
It was neglected, and now it's in so much suffering and pain. Honestly, I can't talk about it any further, guys. Maybe think about something. You guys. I need a moment.
Well. Guess that. I guess we could also try to search for this body. Like, dude, where was the arm exactly? In terms of,
like, was it here? Was it over there? And I just gesture in her general direction behind me.
Ah, yes. I think that narrows it down. Yeah.
There's probably tracks in the snow still to where it was, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right next to the mine.
I don't know that book, DSC, but I am interested now.
I hear the Wendigo call my name.
I didn't know there was a book about it.
Begin heading again. Back to the arm.
To the arm.
And I'm going to ask DeFago to come with us.
Yeah, sure. No problem. I mean, you know, we should probably be going back to town at some point, but alright, you guys want to mess around out here for another day? No problem.
We'll go to town at some point. For your trial. What?
As you guys are walking out through the wood, DeFago is kind of like, you know, I had the craziest dream when you guys were saying that this whole thing happened, and, you know, I remember being around this area of the woods, but it's probably just because, you know, I've been around here so often and stuff. You find where the arm is, and it's an arm.
When were you last here, DeFago?
Well, I mean, I was tracking around here like a month ago, I think, last time.
Tracking what?
When did the mine go
missing? Well, moose and stuff.
The mine? Mine's been missing for a while and no one wanted to go. It was... we didn't ask, we just have that it was missing for a while.
because we had a month after we learned about this case before we came up here.
Yes.
Hmm.
I'm going to take out my magnifying glass and examine the arm.
It is an arm which is turning more and more frozen as it has been kind of left to the elements. There's a good portion of it that has been eaten away from the looks of it. Actually, to give you the full extent of it, the arm looks like it has effectively been torn out. So the viscera kind of around where the shoulder would be is very, it's torn and mangled. The portions that have been eating are kind of eaten around like the forearm area. It looks like it has been mauled by like a dog or something.
Or a wendigo.
But it's eaten basically down to bone from about, you know, the wrist up to about three quarters up the forearm.
Okay. Well, this is a very messed up sight I've seen, but yep, that's definitely one mangled up in arm there, from what I could tell.
Ifago's just kind of like standing there with you guys like, what is that? How did you guys find that?
It was just lying around. What do you mean, how did we find it?
How did you know it would be here?
The arm?
You guys walked here with purpose. How did you know this would be here? Are you involved in this somehow? Did you kill somebody?
Did you?
I'm going to go over to where he was munching on it by the tree.
Yeah.
And I want to see if there's any signs of... I want to, like, brush the snow aside and see if there's any signs of disturbed ground or anything.
So, no, there's no disturbed ground, per se. I mean, the arm had been mostly buried in the snow. The ground underneath it is not... has not really been disturbed or dug into.
I want to begin circling around the area, looking for signs of humans. broken branches, or cut branches. Maybe charred wood on the ground.
Okay.
Maybe packed down earth that represents a trail.
So... it had been snowing yesterday while you guys were, like, canoeing up to the area.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of what you're looking for is fairly covered. You can't find anything like charcoal on the ground or whatnot. You're seeing some cut branches and whatnot that seem to follow down... would look to be like obvious human trails through the forest, or whether they're human or kind of made by moose or whatnot, it's hard to say. You've been told in town, and you know from town that it's a decently popular moose hunting area. So it's not necessarily surprising. You're not finding anything really out of the ordinary, and it takes you kind of about.
Well,
now, around the total island area.
DeFargo. I know the last time you were here was about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last time you were here before that.
I don't remember. maybe a couple of months before. I mean, I spent a lot more of the summer helping some of the families moving onto the reservation, not too far from here, so I didn't really get out and do much hunting over the summer. So maybe there's a good, I don't know, 2-3 months since I was here last, before the last time.
Okay.
Okay, so an angle arm, possibly a Wendigo. I'm trusting you guys. There is a Wendigo. Forgotten that. Having just gone onto the seat in the crime, and a suspect that I'm having trouble remembering. This is quite a pickle.
I mean, I don't know what you're saying. I'm having trouble remembering anything. I didn't do anything.
What time of day is it?
It is getting on early afternoon now. We'll say it's about 1 p.m.
Well, I don't see any signs of where this arm came from. And it is getting late. Maybe we should just make camp.
Yeah, the trail has gone cold.
Feels risky.
Well, I mean, can we just go back and use the camp that we had already set that's still there?
Oh, you guys already have a camp. That's perfect.
Well, yeah, that's basically where you found us. Did you not notice the tent and fire and stuff?
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, mine was preoccupied with cases and work, and you know, it's got a lot on my mind as a very well sought out detective.
Okay.
I don't super trust that he's not gonna, go loose skin on us again, you know? But I don't have anything to restrain him through the night.
I mean, you don't need to restrain me. I'm...
I'm not talking to you, DeFago.
Okay.
Ingrid and I will step away from DeFago.
It's like you guys keep forgetting that I'm here or something.
I'm whispering. Stop eavesdropping on my conversation, DeFago.
I know, but that's a good job of whispering. Sorry, I don't mean to criticize.
Hey, no one asked you either, buddy. I told you not to perceive me.
All right, okay. All right. I'm backing off. I'm backing up a little bit. Just go here, though. But, you know, just keep it.
Once they backed off, or we've left, do we not want this thing coming back? We have to figure out if it's dangerous.
It's for sure dangerous.
Well,
ain't no way it's not dangerous. But if it comes back,
we're still here.
I would prefer a controlled environment.
Yeah.
What if?
We
take Mr. Ghoul's jacket, his lovely duster, and put it on DeFago and tie up, like, the arms around him so he's, like, you know, waddled. See if that helps.
Can't hurt to try.
Swaddle.
It'll make me feel better to swaddle him.
Alright.
So that he cannot leave. I mean, he could leave, but he has no limbs.
Oh, I mean, alright. Well, if we're going to use my jacket,
you're not here.
Suddenly he's standing right here in the conversation. He just slowly wanders over.
He just kind of slowly, like, just sidle in, just be like, what you guys talking about?
He just slowly just acts as if he was there the whole time. And he's like,
who's keeping an eye on Defago? Is Defago still there?
He's just sitting down, like, on like a stump. Hey. I don't know.
Hey, Defago, you want to start a fire?
Sure, I guess so. Are you guys going to go hunt something to eat?
Yeah, get working on that fire.
Okay. He starts doing it.
Mr. Ghoul and I will, after he makes the fire, because that would be nice, will restrain Defago, and if you want to look for a meal for us, Eagle.
Alright, I'll go and find something to eat. A couple of rabbits, I guess.
Well, what was this about restraining Defago? I'm not on board with this.
I told you not to eavesdrop anymore, Defago.
Well, no, I assume you guys finish this conversation and then go over.
No, we're not finishing the conversation.
Okay, Mr. Defago,
I interjected for a moment.
We're going to...
Stop listening to me.
Yeah, finish our aside conversation, walk back over, and say, okay, once he's done, we'll tie him up right in front of him. That's why we came back. That we're in front of him.
Why does Defago just keep eavesdropping on us like this? It's so rude and unprofessional.
Yeah, exactly. If anyone should eavesdrop, it's your fellow compatriot here who's not a part of this case. You're... Sorry, I got a little bit of distance. I got.
So, well, I guess me and Mr. Ghoul will hang out while Defago makes the fire, and after we get a little comfortable, I guess we'll make some plans for restraining him. But I guess we'll let him eat first, so we'll restrain him at bedtime.
You need to restrain me? That's kind of weird. I don't know what you're talking about.
So. We had a vote, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's just for your safety, because your feet disappeared last night, and it was stressful. We were worried for you. You started wandering in your sleep. It's very cold to be walking out here with no feet, so we're going to, for your safety...
What? That doesn't sound like me. I wouldn't do something like that. What are you talking about?
I know, but you were having some night terrors by the sounds of it.
Okay, no. What evidence do you have of that? I'm right here. I have my feet. What the heck are you talking about?
You want us to tell you the real reason why we knew where that arm was? Because I don't think you can handle the truth.
I mean, I would prefer if you told me how you knew that, because then I would, understand.
You, in your sleep-like trance... and your lack of feet wandered out there and you ate that arm.
No.
Yes, you did. I saw you do it with my own peepers.
I don't know what you're talking about. I wouldn't...
Hey, if you can't remember what you did last night, you can't tell me you remember not doing that.
I didn't... I was sleeping last night.
Yeah. Sleep eating some man's arm. Two witnesses.
I just quickly lean over to Fogo. I'm like, listen, buddy, to be fair, I've had nights where I've had like quite a bit too much a drink and some other things, and I've flagged out too. I get it. It's fair. It happens to the best of us.
I don't think you do. You're not being accused of eating somebody like a random arm. What are you talking about?
Fair, but I was accused of eating someone's sandwich, and they were not happy about it.
Defago, look. The Wendigo spoke to you. You did some weird shit last night. For your own safety, we feel better if we're able to keep an eye on you, and having your arms solely restrained would make us feel better about your safety.
I don't think that
DeFargo, I had a vision. You are going to be
now you have
arrested.
Vision. Okay, yeah, I need to...
Hold on now. Don't you judge me.
You're the one who's coming in here telling me that apparently I walked around last night and lost my feet.
You didn't even walk. You floated.
My skin got all weird and messed up. Yeah. And then I ate somebody, apparently, even though you and your other witness have no evidence of me actually doing that. So, like, how am I supposed to believe that? And then how am I supposed to be okay with you then coming to me and being like, well, we don't feel safe, so we're going to tie you up. Like, if it's this big of an issue, why don't I just go sleep in another tent then?
No. Because then we can't keep an eye on you. So here's the deal. We will not restrain you. But the sleeping arrangement will be me, you, Egil, and Mr. Ghoul, you're going to sleep horizontally in front of the door. So if he leaves, he will step on you. So you will wake and alarm everybody.
Whatever.
Well, I kind of don't like to be stepped on in the middle of the night, but I guess I'll take up that.
Nobody duty. Does, fine. But okay. You know, you're on door duty. If he wakes you up, though, when we go back to sleep again, you don't have door duty again. It'll be a rotation.
Rotation. Got rotation.
Yeah. Deal? And I put my hand out to DeFargo.
Yeah, fine. Whatever.
Does he shake my hand? Okay. I was like, hand. Hold on. Does he just not shake? Does he leave me hanging?
No, he shakes your hand.
Okay.
Is his hand still there?
His hand is still there.
Is it growing?
Are there any rabbits around?
Sorry?
Are there any rabbits around?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's tons. You're able to find dinner, no problem.
Just before they start dinner, it's like, okay, hold on, I just gotta use the tree behind there. I just gotta lead the lizard out of the tree. I wander over and just clearly.
Yo, is he doing tree drugs?
Once I drop off the rabbits, I'm gonna go back to the tent and lie down.
All right.
Hey, Eagle, just so you know, you're sleeping on the side. I'm sure you heard me.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard it at least, so, you know.
Yeah. If you heard me, he heard me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will eat and then just stare at DeFargo until he is ready for bed.
Sure. He stays up and tends to the fire a little bit and is trying to chat with you about stuff, being like,
he wants to chat.
I never really got the chance to ask you guys, you know, where are you from originally? Sweet, I've never heard of it. I don't know where that is, but tell me about that. Tell me more about that.
No.
No?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Hey, you want to tell me another story about the Wendigo?
Sure.
Well. I put more wood on the fire.
Well, you know, the stories from the tribe are talk about the Wendigo being a powerful force of nature. It's been known to call men to the into the embrace of the wilderness and to What am I trying to go with this?
I don't know. It's your story.
And to basically become one with nature and with the bitter winds of a winter's night. They've been known to, lure members of the tribe out, beyond the bounds of the group, and then they're never seen from again, until having my own experience, I've we've always thought that they just kind of get eaten or whatnot, but.
What if they do the eating?
I mean, I suppose it's possible.
Mm. Yes, very possible.
It's described, as many different things. Some people, some tribes that I've, some members of the tribe I've spoken to say that it's basically just an ethereal spirit thing. Some people have described it as a gigantic humanoid with, a weird, gear bones jutting out of its head and skin falling off of it, looking like some kind of gigantic emaciated corpse.
You don't say.
I mean, I didn't really see anything of it last night. It seemed to just be like a coalescing of wind that helped keep me running on.
In the stories, does the Wendigo come to you, or do you become the Wendigo?
Well, I mean, if you take the stories in more of a, less of a literal sense, you can be seen as man becoming the Wendigo, I guess, if you really want to think about it that way. But, we've always thought of it as a real thing. It's hard to say.
Yeah, something to think about.
A little bit, yeah. It's a very interesting point of view.
Almost as if I saw it before.
Okay. That's a weird way to put it, but okay.
Yeah.
I once saw a man thrown out of the window.
All right. Finally, I guess DeFargo goes to bed. This is getting weird.
I will go to bed as well, sandwiching DeFargo between me and Egil. And I will watch and make sure that
people coming we'll back into the tent. Start. I'll wake up and begin my watch.
All righty. Oh.
So Egil will spend the night minding the fire and keeping an eye on the tent.
He's
going to make sure we stay warm all night.
The sound of that, sir.
And then suddenly a Wendigo appears. And it's not DeFargo.
What a twist.
And there's a one-armed man running towards the tent.
Have you guys seen my arm?
I didn't kill my wife.
Give back what you've stolen!
The fugitive.
Eagle, you're sitting there tending the fire, and you're hit in the face with the smell again.
Oh.
Can't tell where it's coming from or anything. It just seems to suddenly pervade throughout the entire kind of clearing where your tent and your fire are located.
I'm going to
and the Wendigo takes Mr. Ghoul.
The Defago is snoring peacefully in between the two other bodies in the tent.
Does it smell bad enough to wake us up, or no?
You say that Mr. Ghoul is lying across the front of the tent?
He should be, unless he moves around in his sleep.
I'll go over and kick him.
Supposed to be right blocking the doorway.
You're going to kick Ghoul?
Not hard, but like, hey.
Okay.
Nudge him with your foot?
Yeah.
Just a sudden wake up of like, I did take the squirrels, I swear.
Can't see, but I'm gesturing to my lips to be quiet right now.
It's hard to do that with a spacesuit on.
Something's here.
Is it the Wendigo? Is that more what's here?
I think so.
I'm peaceful.
And I look just to see if it's Defago. Is he still in the tent?
Yep.
Is the smell still here?
Yep. And I guess Mr. Ghoul has never experienced that before, so that's a fear test from you, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It smells bad.
Very bad, yes.
That's scary.
Just straight up terrible. You pick, what is it, empathy or...
Or logic, I believe.
Or logic, yeah. And you roll that that skill for that. And if you get a six, like you get a success, it counts as a success.
And you get reminded repeatedly that no one can see your dice when you make the roll.
Yes.
In some cases. Okay.
As many right. Mic and roll three failed fear tests in a row.
Pila, tell right, Mike. Well,
I'm going to go with my strong suit of logic here. The logical man. And we'll see how this goes.
Roll them dice.
Okay. I do have 1 6.
Yeah.
And... the rest is 4, 4, 2 5s, and 3.
Okay, so with the 1 success, you're able to keep yourself under control. It's a smell like rotting leaves, rotting wood, vaguely sweet, but then also with this very acrid undertone of like sweat. It's pervasive through, well, you're smelling it now even in the tent.
Kind of,
it's almost like so bad you're having trouble trying to like fall back asleep.
Oh god, where is that?
Wendigo.
You know, they smelled so bad.
I am going to call out.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Hello?
Okay. Nothing responds back.
Show yourself.
We sure we want that?
Okay. Give me 1 second. I'm reading this room.
Thomas stabs his arm right through your back, taking out your lungs.
I think I would need you to make a roll with vigilance logic, Mike.
Okay. Vigilance logic.
Yeah, that would make sense.
In classic fashion, that is no success.
No.
I think I'm using those five-sided dice by accident.
The wind picks up.
You are cheating just to fail every time.
The wind picks up and rustles the leaves in the trees. And Eagle swears he hears something call his name just outside of the circle where your camp is.
Does Ghoul hear it?
Ghoul hears the wind through the trees, rustling leaves.
This is like the military now. We only refer to you by your last name.
Fair.
We're on last names only kind of terms right now.
Ah, that makes sense. Kind of a windy first here.
Mike, what is Eagle's response to that?
I will take a step in that direction, but I don't want to leave the light of the fire or the view of the tent.
Can you... I'm going to get you to roll observation empathy for me, please.
Excellent.
I can't tell if that was sarcastic or not.
It was, but I did roll a success.
Wow. Okay.
One of my two dice was a six.
So you take a step further and you notice just beyond kind of the firelight, the kind of the line that's created by the casting of the light up beyond the trees. You notice some of the light reflect off two eyes that seem to be inset into a very large animal frame. And you realize that it's the large 8-foot-tall moose that you had seen before. You recognize the
king
of the woods. And as you notice it, and it kind of has turned and looked at you, it then turns and walks further into the darkness.
In the forest. Come back for us.
You know what? Is it still walking away? Is it still in range?
Wait.
Yes. But it's hard to tell specifically how far it is because of the fact that it's darker beyond the light of the fire.
I'm just going to raise my rifle and fire.
Get him.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Roll. Normally for that, it's range combat precision.
So many dice.
I like keep making you roll until you roll some good successes.
I like your optimism there. Only one success in all of that.
Nice. You fire at the king of the forest in the dark. And you think you see it go down, but it's hard to tell because it's dark.
Mike, when we saw the moose before, did it smell?
No, that was miles from here, down near Perry Sound.
Yeah.
Also, did the gunshot wake up this fog, or is he still sleeping?
He kind of like...
Oh, wake me up.
His eyelids kind of like flutter open slightly, but he closes them and goes back.
I will get up and come out of the tent.
This is the guy who was weeping in the night last night?
Yep.
He's not roused by... I'm going to reload.
Okay.
I will pull out my dagger for safety.
And I will hold out my revolver at the ready.
For safety.
For safety, of course, and investigation reasons. But mostly safety.
Investigation purposes. Flashes. While the kid.
I am a detective after all.
As Ingrid comes out of the tent too, and realized that the smell is present, it disappears instantaneously.
Oh.
It fears me.
Well, I guess I'll have to worry about a Wendigo tonight.
I'm gonna leave the firelight and go see where I fired my gun.
Okay.
Put a stick on fire?
Actually, I say leave the firelight. I'm going to try and, like, make a makeshift torch out of...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. You can make a torch and you can bring it with you.
Yeah, just so I can see what I'm doing out there.
You walk out to it, and where you saw the creature go down, you actually find the... you find a, like, fully rotted moose carcass. Basically nothing but bone left. You only really realize that as you get kind of, you know, 5 feet from it. Prior to that, it just kind of looked like a vague shape.
I'm going to call out again.
Okay, and say what?
Are you out there?
Okay. You still get no response.
Did this thing leave any tracks? This moose?
You don't see any. No, there's definitely none that seemed to follow where you would have thought it had walked.
Yeah. I'm going to go a bit further.
Okay. You still don't see anything.
Okay. I'll go back. Once my torch begins to die down, I will go back.
Okay.
It was here.
Oh, Lucio was in the fog over there. Or is he still... Are we still considering a suspect, or is he just off-limits now that we have a Wendigo out there?
Done murder, but for sure ate an arm.
Hmm.
But we believe he was possessed by the Wendigo.
So.
Wait, why am I telling you this? I'm supposed to be ignoring you.
I don't think.
I almost forgot about the rules. Don't mind me. I'm just a sole observer for day one. Just, you know, my first day here. I get it.
It's my first day.
I mean, not first day of the detective. I'm a I'm a professional. Just, I mean, my first day with you guys, so I get it.
What do you guys want to do?
Oh, apparently I can't.
Back to doing what I was doing before.
Sleeping? I'm going back to sleep.
I will also go back to sleep as well. Hope no wind to go.
Nothing else happens the rest of the night. Sun comes up.
The fog is still here when we wake. The
fog is still there, sleeping like a baby.
Crying like a baby?
Nope, just sleeping.
And Ghouls has woken up, woken up a little early, take a walk around. In the distance, you just hear like a... And just... lovely morning, guys. Lovely morning. Feel refreshed.
I can imagine he's just snorting sugar or something.
It's just allergies.
Yeah, it's a lot of forestry.
Just flour.
Rated I would like to go shop. And look at where the moose was last night.
Still there. There's a moose carcass in the same.
The carcass is still there.
Yep.
Rod.
Is there a bullet in it?
Yeah. I mean, so it's rotted down to basically bone, but you can see in its rib what looks to be a bullet hole.
Not so much for breakfast.
I'm going to get some sleep.
Fair enough.
The Fargo wakes up, yawns, and is kind of like, so are we going back to town today, guys? Like, what's the plan?
So, the Fargo, you remember that arm we found yesterday?
Yeah.
We kind of really got to find the body that used to be attached to.
Okay.
But
like that's we're not good at something like that. We gotta go. We don't have enough supplies to just have a long term situation out here. You know.
You told me you were getting supplies that whole day that I didn't get to hang out with you. I asked for stories. Sure. You walked away from me in the tavern.
Like no, we only needed enough supplies to come up here for like a day or two. We're running
what
out.
What other do we need? What supplies have we used?
Food.
No, we've been eating Ezekiel's food. He's been getting rabbits out the wazoo.
Okay.
I mean, I could use a drink soon. Like, you know, get some ale in me. Oh, right. Sorry. Still got it first. Are we going back first pay or first?
We're staying in the woods.
Oh, okay.
He agrees. Right?
Oh, my turn to speak yet. I agree. We're sticking it out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't need comforts and luxuries.
I mean, it would be nice, but yeah. No, we don't need it. Don't, none of it. Yep. None of it.
Hey, what other supplies could you need, DeFago?
Alright, fine. You guys want to hang out here as long as we can?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, where'd that moose come from, Defago? And I point at the dead moose carcass.
I mean, I don't know. Looks like it's been there a while.
It wasn't there yesterday.
It's a moose area. Moose die around here. What do you want from me?
And rot overnight?
I don't remember where every single moose carcass is that I've seen in my general vicinity all the time.
Tracker.
Okay. So yeah, is the overall goal for everybody is we're gonna find the body?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go find us a body.
Well, then I say we call it there for tonight. Because I'm not prepared to do that.
Wow. He doesn't. He's trying to hide the body harder than he hit it already. It's the mine all over again, where he knows we're onto him, and he's going to move it.
But we found that.
That window go, come in, and move that body.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, thanks to those of you who continue to hang out with us here. This has been a very interesting session of Corporate Crash Course. On behalf of myself and my friends, you can find us at Corporate Crash Course on YouTube and Twitch, or CCCRPGs on Instagram and Twitter. And we'll see you next week when we try and figure out where this body's gone. Until then, see you later, gang.
Bye.